my brother passed away, kind of fell back into depression. And like I said before, like it got even more serious where it's like, oh, I definitely have to change. Like I have to make some kind of adjustments to my life.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. The purpose of this show is to share stories of hardship and victory as an encouragement for those in the middle of their own hard thing. Because we know hardship produces perseverance, which produces character, which ultimately produces hope. Today's guest is Jonathan Musick. Jonathan, known as J-Hub, is an aspiring professional boxer with a significant social media following. He inspires people to push for their goals as he is actively trying to lose over 250 pounds to become a professional boxer. J-Hub talks about the loss of his father and brother and the struggle to regain motivation after losing the two of them. He reminds us that even in the valley, we can't quit. Just one more step may be all it takes. If you enjoy the show, please don't forget to subscribe and leave a review so more people can be encouraged by the stories we share. Now, here's the conversation with Jonathan Musick. All right, we've got J-Hub on the Do Hard Things podcast. Pretty sure that's how most people know you, and would love to give people some more context for having you on the show and who you are. So the way I like to get at that is when people ask you what you do, how do you answer that question?
I am a up-and-coming boxing influencer.
Up-and-coming?
Yeah.
At what point are you no longer up-and-coming and just have arrived?
When I have my pro debut, my pro fight.
Is that on the calendar?
The weight loss is, and once I achieve a certain amount of weight, then yes.
Okay. So maybe we'll get into some of that here in a little bit, but are you thinking like we're in a year type of a thing or 2 years?
Within a year, yes, definitely. Within a year, definitely.
Okay, so up and coming boxing influencer. Talk about the influencer part a little bit. What do you, because you could just say boxing,
right,
athlete, person, but you added influencer in there. Why?
Because I do more than just boxing. Like boxing is like a big portion of my life, but just enjoying life and showing people, you know, how to enjoy life is the influencer part. I mean, I like to travel, I like to do fun stuff. I do, like, when I have free time, of course, I like to go ghost hunting. I do cliff jumping. I do a wide variety of stuff. I'm kind of an adventure kind of junkie, but I do it in a positive atmosphere. So I like to influence people with a positive mind. So,
okay. Did you say ghost hunting?
Yes.
I have no, well, I mean, I can think of Ghostbusters, but I don't think that's what you mean. What is that?
So, most of the time you go to these, abandoned old places, of course, with like permission. Matters on what's your belief on like the supernatural, with God, the devil, all that other stuff. There is this belief that there are entities that haven't left this world after they've passed away. And there's different types of spirits, if you want to say, and you get interactions from from like personal experiences to ghost hunting devices that will let you know that, hey, there's something here. So,
yeah. Okay. I have so many questions about that, but, how did you get into that? And then two, how long have you been doing that?
I've always been interested in like ghost hunting, but to be honest, I was super, super scared. Like, I don't like scary movies at all. I don't
so then this seems like the wrong pursuit.
I know, it seems so wrong, but so I watch a YouTube channel, and they do like this adventure stuff, and they also do like ghost hunting as well. And I won like a little challenge, and it was kind of during COVID, and so there wasn't a lot of stuff open, and so the person that owned the YouTube channel was like, hey, do you want to do something like spooky, go ghost hunting or something? I was like, yeah, I'm down. Let's go do it. And I've always wanted to do like, go see, like go try it out. And it's definitely a channel that I look up to, and it helps. It like puts me in a good mood too, as well, to watch. It was a good atmosphere. It wasn't like a bad experience when I went to go do it my first time. And then I got hooked, and I was like, I want to venture a little bit more into this world a little bit.
Okay. So that was like within the last couple of years that you started?
Last year. Yeah.
Okay.
I've been within it with probably about a year. I've been to a couple places. So.
And are these like in the world of ghost hunting, I guess, are these monumental locations, or are you just finding some random place that you think might qualify?
They're not like monumental, like big time. When I went to with them, we went to Missouri State Pen, which Ghost Adventures, I believe, like TAPS, or you know, different like ghost hunting shows have been and recorded there and stuff like that. That was like the big one that I've gone to. But other places, like you can kind of go online and, you know, they'll say, hey, there's been shadow figures seen here, or there's been activity here. And you kind of just take it by ear and go there and try to see for yourself.
Yeah. So what is going on in your mind when you're on site? I'm just trying to process, like, I can't put myself in that position necessarily. Like I would say I'm a very spiritual person. I'm Christian, so like I believe in the spiritual, but I haven't done this. And I'm just curious, like when you're actively pursuing something supernatural in that way, like what's going on in your mind as you're interacting with very tangible, real things like the building or people or whatever else?
Well, what's going through my mind is, I mean, of course, to first make contact, and what's the best way to do it, try different ways to get some kind of interaction, may it be personal or from one of the devices that I use. I mean, my intentions and my mindset, you know, is not to offend or like get the spirit or whatever is out there, whatever you want to call it, in a bad like mojo kind of thing. So my goal is like keep this a good experience, not a bad experience, because that can happen. I've actually had that happen, and I won't go back to that site because it was kind of scary for me.
Yeah, dude, that sounds like, I don't know, playing with a little bit of fire kind of deal.
A little bit, but I mean, like you said, you're a Christian. I believe in the higher power as well, and God, and I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. But I also believe that God will not let me be harmed by harmful spirits. Yes, I might be frightful, but I know that God protects me as well. So,
come on, man. All right, so you're going in there like fully confident, but it's still like a trippy sounding experience.
Yeah. No, my first like by myself after the YouTube thing with those guys, I had a group of friends that were going to go with me, but they didn't go with me. I went to a cemetery alone that was like a Civil War cemetery. Everybody like bailed on me, and I said, well, you know, mama didn't raise no punk, so I need to do this, because I was like, I put it on social media, I'm doing this. And so,
yeah, you have the accountability. How does that experience impact your like belief in who Jesus, like, does that change your faith in any way, or does it strengthen it? Like, what's the dynamic?
It reminds me of like, make sure that there's nothing here that I want to like, what's the word I'm looking for, to like regret, or to like, I wish I would have done this, or wish I would have done that kind of thing. Where, because I believe that you get attached, and that's why spirits get attached, is because they feel like they haven't completed something in their life or did something. So it definitely makes me want to like go do stuff even more, like adventure more or try different things or new things. So
yeah, don't have any regrets. Oh, that's like a really interesting benefit from that pursuit. All right, I'm gonna set that aside because okay. I want to get some other stuff, but I have so many questions. So talking about the positive influence in boxing, and how long ago, actually, let me ask it this way. Did you ever think that that's what you would be doing?
When I started boxing back in 2008, 2009, like I was a younger kid. I was in high school and stuff like that. I definitely was like, oh yeah, I can become like a professional boxer. And as time went by and out of high school, that dream slowly kind of died away a little bit. You know, I still had it in the back of my head. I was like, I wanted to own my own gym. I wanted to become a professional boxer, be a trainer and stuff like that. And the great part is I got to experience becoming a personal trainer. I never got to own my own gym, but I got to like hold my own like fit camps and help people with their fitness goals. And then now going after this like professional boxing career, it's kind of cool because it's like, oh wow, this is happening. I put it out there in the world, in the universe, and it's happening. So it's kind of eye opener. It's like I still had it in the back of my head, but it wasn't as powerful when I was like younger.
So. Yeah. So now you're pursuing this dream that was kind of always there, but never really like super tangible. It was like pie in the sky. What was there a catalytic like moment that changed all that, that put you on this path, or was it that slow build over time?
It was actually I wouldn't say like a catapult, because I enjoy boxing. I love the craft. I love the sport, just the training of it. I've always wanted to open my own boxing gym. Definitely it like reignited that pipe dream, right? Back in November, this past November, I had a viral video. I was just hitting a heavy bag, and I was just really like just going in to like lose weight. I went back to my coach's gym, started hitting the heavy bag about maybe 2 weeks in. I videotaped me hitting a heavy bag, trying to keep myself accountable with social media. And I posted it, which I wasn't really happy with the video. This is the funny part. I was like, I disliked the video so much. It was blurry, it didn't upload right, big yellow long sleeve t-shirt. I looked like a lemon. Like I'm like, all right, whatever. And I was like, all right, I'm still gonna post it, whatever. And that blew up. That video, I believe, is like at 7 million views on TikTok. And then on Instagram, it was like reached 3 million views. The funny part is I put it on TikTok. Someone took it, was using pretending to be me, posted it on Twitter. Someone that followed me on Twitter notified me. It was like, hey, isn't this you? I was like, yeah, that is me. So then I posted my video, and then I just posted it on all my platforms after that. And so.
Wow. Okay. So that was kind of the moment that was like, oh, this is legit. I could have a runway with this. Definitely. But you had already started, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I've been hitting the heavy bag. I've posted quite a few videos of me hitting the heavy bag, me training and stuff like that. That one just kind of blew up. And then once certain people started messaging me, like, hey, we want to work with you. Hey, like, we're a promoter. Like, hey, you know, this and that. And I used to compete. I was an amateur boxer. Yeah. And now we're on this weight loss journey to lose the weight and go pro.
Yeah. So take me back to, you know, the middle school, high school, when you started boxing. Was it like a family thing? Why did you start?
So my brother took me to a it's called Title Boxing Club. And back in the day, Title Boxing Club, it was originated, it originated here in Kansas. And it, back in the day, it was like a fight gym. It wasn't just what it is now, a fitness gym, right? A fitness boxing class. Yeah. There was an team, there was a kickboxing team, a boxing team, and like you would spar there, you would train jiu-jitsu, everything. And my brother took me there because I always loved martial arts. I was big into karate. I was big into Power Rangers when I was young, you know what I'm saying? So, I tried a little bit of everything. I know a little bit of Muay Thai, jiu-jitsu, but boxing was I'm hitting this bag pretty hard. And the boxing coach actually saw I was picking up stuff very, very quickly. Like I would listen to what he was saying. He just started teaching me a little bit more every time. That was like my go-to place. Like when I was in high school, like, of course, like I partied and, you know, did that kind of, you know, high school stuff, but I really, that was like my place. That was my, like,
your sanctuary.
Yeah, you could say. Yeah.
So you just kind of like grew up under the shelter almost of boxing as your escape and your outlet and your safe haven during difficult seasons or hard moments. And that was always where you just ran back to. Yeah. Is it still the case now, or is it, do you have less of a need for it to provide that for you? And it's, you know, more of this professional pursuit.
No, boxing is definitely a great outlet for me to, like, you know, let out some steam, get my mind off the world. Like when I'm in, you know, training or just hitting a heavy bag or just working out in general, like the world doesn't exist. Like what I'm doing exists. And yeah. That's probably like the best part of like boxing in general for me. So.
Yeah. And you hear people talk about that with lots of things that people enjoy, like whether it's biking or hiking or some other fitness thing, it's this singular focus that people really latch onto. That's good. Okay. So talk about this. You've mentioned it now twice, trying to lose the weight. So going from what to what, like we say in our company, from X to Y by when, is like the goal language, right? And right. So you're going from what so that you can get your first fight.
So 475 to 250 to have my first fight to hit 250. Because when I was competing, I was around 250, 270. I even competed at like 320. I was whooping people's, you know, butts.
You're good, man. Go for it.
I was tearing into them, and I'm short. I have short arms, and a lot of people think that's like a disadvantage for me, but it's actually an advantage for me because a lot of people have to hit down. I'm not as easy as a target as everybody thinks I am. So I've lost this weight. I've gained this weight. I've lost this weight. I've gained this weight. Definitely experiencing having lost the weight and being at 250, I felt like light on my feet. Like knowing when you see me, like, I mean, I'm guessing you've already seen me how I move now. Like, wait until I get even farther down. Like, God.
yeah. No kidding. I mean, you like 475 to 250 is no joke. You know, that's like a significant amount of weight to lose, and obviously would make a huge impact on being light on your feet. I was going to ask you if like 250 was like kind of the cutoff for the heavier weights that you had to be at to be able to compete, or if that was just, you know, the target weight for a different reason. So it sounds like different reason.
So yeah. So 250, that's the lowest that I got. When I started this journey, I was like at 405, and then I lost it and got down to 250. Some crazy things happened in my life, and we can talk about those things if you want, but you know, I gained that weight back. 250, that's when I was like really struggling to cut more weight, and to come to find out, like I have like 198 pounds of muscle on me. So underneath, so it's like, I don't know, I would have to do another scan, know where I'm at right now, but that's just kind of like the ideal is 250 and it's get as close as possible to 200 after that, you know, but 250 is a good number for me.
Yeah, dude, those ghosts, man, they're the ones that should be worried. 198 pounds of muscle is a lot of muscle.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's no joke. Okay. So we're going to transition. I'll ask the question. What's the hardest thing in your life you wouldn't take back? You know what, if it's the answer to what you just alluded to, you know, you had a hard season recently, then great. But if it's something totally different, no worries. And we'll come back to what you said. But I think for the sake of coherence in the conversation, I'm going to ask it now. We'll see where it goes. So J-Hub, man, what's the hardest thing in your life that you wouldn't take back?
I would say always getting my back put against the wall. And that's with multiple things that's happened in my life. For example, when my father passed away, mm-hmm. I kind of put myself into this kind of depression and I got to a place where like I needed to lose weight and my back was against the wall. It's like either I lose weight or I probably wouldn't be having this conversation with you. Right.
Yeah.
And then, so putting myself against the wall and dealing with that, and then having my pretty shortly after, about close to 2 years, my brother passed away. Mm. And I was going after it and kind of, you know, I kind of fell back into depression. And like I said before, like it got even more serious where it's like, oh, I definitely have to change. Like I have to make some kind of adjustments to my life, from not just only health, but like my future, my family in general and stuff. And I wouldn't take that away because it's taught me a lot how to overcome hard times. Like I know hard times are going to come. Like I've already personally like talked to myself about like, okay, something's going to happen. If it does, what are we going to do? We're going to just overcome, figure out a way, because there's no other choice to do is just to figure it out. There's no point of giving up when it gets harder. As I say, it's just another problem to the equation, right? So
yeah man, you're preaching a little bit. So let's talk about the loss of your family members a little bit, if you don't mind. I want to ask some more questions. How old were you when your dad passed away?
24. Yeah, 24. So okay. 2000, he passed away in 2015. So 24.
Yeah. Okay. Is your brother younger or older than you?
He's older. Away.
He was older. Okay. So personally, like fathers, I just have a lot of respect for that relationship with a like father and their child, daughter, son, or otherwise. Like there's so much impact that a father has on our lives. And, you know, I think about it a lot now, being a father of young kids, like on the other side of it, but I also recognize it a lot as the son. Like for you losing your dad, what was that like? How has that changed you in this, sounds like 7 years since?
Yeah. So it definitely affected me. It definitely put me in a place that I never wanted to be in, but it hurt because I was part of this nutritional company beforehand, and they're like a multi-level marketing company, and I was doing very, very well. Like I was very close to opening up my own little wellness center, selling like smoothies and workouts and all this other stuff. I was climbing a ladder, I was making decent money, and the goal was to like hit the top notch on this entrepreneurship with this company. My goal was to like take care of like my dad, my brother, and my mom. He was a big why of mine. I mean, I was working overnight at Walmart. I was a trainer at Title Boxing Club. I was leading free fitness camps here, plus doing personal training as well, plus doing the entrepreneurship, selling like smoothie shakes and programs and stuff. Yeah. My days were always full, so full that like, I don't know if you ever listened to like Eric Thomas, but he's a motivational speaker. And he even said like, if you want something, sometimes you're going to have to stay up 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row without sleep. And I did that. Like, I'm honest to God, like, I stayed up three nights in a row straight, no sleep, going to work, teaching people, and maybe getting, after that, getting like 4 hours of sleep, and then do it again, and over and over and over.
If you enjoy the podcast, please do us a favor and head to your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review. It helps a ton. And there's a reason all the podcasts you listen to ask you to do this. We want to continue to encourage people in the middle of their difficult seasons, and your ratings help boost our podcast visibility and the stories of our guests. Did you pause it and leave a review? If so, thank you. All right, back to our conversation.
I was working towards a goal for my dad because, I mean, he did so much for me during my life. Yeah. I just wanted to repay him. And when he passed away, that really hit me because I felt like my why, like, died. The reason why this is gone now, and I never got the chance to do what I wanted to do for him. So that put me in kind of a negative state. And then 2 years down the road, getting back into the, you know, fitness thing, I was down like 16 pounds. I get a phone call. My brother overdosed on fentanyl. Mm. And it's pretty much the same situation where I had to make the decision of pulling life support. So really? That was kind of hard. So
yeah. Well, man, so obviously your brother's death was a surprise. Was your dad's as well?
Yes and no. Like, he was having health issues. He was a very, very big guy. He was having health issues. I didn't see him passing away. He did, like, go into a coma 2 months before he did pass away. I mean, he was in shock. He's like, I'm going to change. And it seemed like he was making strides towards that, but he moved to like Oklahoma with his wife. I wasn't able to like keep, you know, close tabs on him and stuff like that. And apparently, he just went back to old bad habits, and smoking, drinking, eating very, very bad food, and that's where
hard to recover that way, huh? Mm-hmm. So he was even like a little bit out of your life when that happened too. So it was probably even harder in that regard, like not around as much, getting to see him. I mean, maybe this isn't a fair question, but which one of those was more difficult for you to process and work through? The loss of your father or the loss of your brother?
I mean, my father was a big impact, but I would say my brother, because after my brother died, it was, you know, okay, now I didn't get to do this with my, you know, for my father. Now I'm the last of the music family. So mother passes away, God forbid, anytime soon. I'm the last. I have a couple cousins, which we're not really in contact, aren't close. Yeah. I have some twice long cousins, but none of them have like the last like music name kind of idea. It became like a pressure of like, okay, well, you have to keep the family name going. If you don't, then you're going to be kind of alone as well. And so my mind was, you know, beating me up during that. I would say, yeah, my brother was like the hardest for me because it was kind of like, oh, shouldn't say a reality check, but I mean, it was like, wow, this is some real stuff, you know? But then, you know, I started thinking like I have friends, like I have people around me that support me, that love me. And I'm so, you know, grateful and blessed for, you know, for those people, you know? So,
yeah. Yeah. So talk about that why, like losing your why a little bit and how you transition. Cause it sounds like the why for you is still for somebody else, right? Boxing influencer and for a positive purpose. Like, how did you transition the why from all this hustle and grinding for your dad to now for fill in the blank other person who is maybe following you in social media or knows you personally or otherwise?
So I get this question a lot, you know, like, what's my why? What's driving me and stuff? And there's no like this person, like this exact person, right? There's multiple people. Big reason, I would say a big reason is my mother. When this all was like blowing up, when I posted that video, we just found out that she has a lung cancer. And so we're going through chemo with her and stuff like that. I have an opportunity with the platform, the following, to give her best years to come. You know what I'm saying? So that's a big reason. But also, when I get messages from people, like, you motivate me, like my new video that just came out today, it's like, man, because of you, I'm hitting the gym, or because of you, I've lost 70 pounds, or because of you, and like, it inspires me to keep going, because it's not only for me, it's for other people that follow me. That aspect. And then there's so many people that believe in me that, you know, they want to see me succeed. They want to see me be healthier. They're also helping, sponsoring, all that other stuff. And I'm that type of person. It's like, if, you know, you're helping me, I'm going to go out of my way to help you as well. And definitely, like, when that time comes where I can, you know, help them, definitely something great is going to come their way and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So with your mom kind of being the last, besides yourself in your family, do you have a pressure? You kind of mentioned it, like, some of this is to help her, or hopefully to, right? Like, is there a pressure in the back of your mind that, like, my dad's gone, my brother's gone, I gotta like be enough for my mom too at this point? Or have you kind of freed yourself from that, and now you're just like living life, and your, you know, mom is part of your family, obviously, but I don't know if that question makes sense. I guess I'm trying to unpack in you, like,
right,
how much that is a driver versus, you know, you're free of that burden maybe, but you can still love her well.
It definitely feels like a timer is ticking, you could say, but I, not to the point where it's like last 10 seconds, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Definitely there's a clock ticking where it's like, okay, I really need to do some big things as soon as possible. But at the same time, I don't want to put myself in that position where I did with my dad, where I like worked so much that I never got to enjoy my 20s. Right. And I want to go enjoy life. That's why the channel is called the J-Hub channel. It's not the J-Hub boxing channel, right? It's a hub is where you can go and find anything that you want. And I want to go do whatever I, you know, want to go do. Maybe cliff jumping, maybe more boxing videos, maybe go race a go-kart, whatever it might be. Like, that's what created that channel.
Okay. So do you have a bucket list that you're working on?
Yeah. Every day I like add stuff to it, because it's like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. Let me add that to it. There's certain things that I am unable. And this is another thing that like motivates me as well. It's like, I want to do these fun activities, but a lot of these fun activities have a weight restriction, like skydiving, like even like going to a trampoline park is a weight, you know, it's like,
yeah.
All right. So I have to lose weight to like participate, even though I'm like physically like able to do most of the stuff. Like, so.
Right. Right. Okay. So you got your bucket list. Sounds like a bunch of adrenaline type stuff sitting in that bucket list.
Well, it's also does, you know, sightseeing, like, I went to Egypt. I got to see, you know, the pyramids, and then also I went to Cancun and I got to see the Mayan temple or whatever. And so like the seven wonders of the world, I want to see. Travel a little bit more, see the world, experience what life has to offer. And yeah.
Yeah. So when you look back at yourself 7 years ago, and now you look at yourself now, and I'm sure it would say, I've changed a lot. Could you put a word or two on the transformation that would best describe 7 years ago, J-Hub, Jonathan Music? to now?
If I could put two words to it, I would say happy, but disappointed as well. I'm happy that I'm getting to travel the world. I'm happy that I'm getting to do stuff that I want to do. I'm very happy. I'm disappointed that I came so far and gave up, and I should have kept, just dug my feet into the ground and dealt with it. But with that disappointment, I'm able to overcome. So,
yeah, there's a new opportunity to grow, right? So are you alluding to the last couple of years and the hard season that you were just in?
Yeah, the last, couple of years that I've, or a few years, whatever. Yes. So with everything that happened in my life, like I felt like I needed to be a little bit stronger, but at the same time, like I'm happy that it's weird. Like I'm disappointed, but I'm happy that, I shouldn't say happy, but maybe happy, but because what I was doing, I wasn't living life. I was just working, like going without sleep for 3 days and stuff like that. Like, yeah, I had a purpose behind it, but I didn't get to experience my 20s. And then including high school, my mindset during high school was like, just do the time and get out. So I'm happy that I'm like more focused on me. You know, is that making sense? I guess.
Yeah. And it sounds like, and you didn't say this explicitly, but it sounds like you have a bit of an ability now to be more present in this moment than, you know, chasing something that may or may not arrive 1 to 10 years from now. Like you are chasing a goal, but you're enjoying the journey,
right?
Rather than, you know, just having the goal be the end in and of itself.
Yes, correct. That's exactly what I'm saying. Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I didn't want to put words in your mouth, but that's what I was hearing you saying. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to Jen Drummond, and she's trying to climb the second highest peaks in all 7 continents.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And she was talking about how it's like, it's not about the mountaintop. It's, you know, if it was, people would just take their helicopter up, snap some shots and come down. She's like, it's like when you're standing on the top, it's about the journey. And you remember all the sacrifices, all the hard days, and can like feel the accomplishment because of the journey, not just because you're on top. Right. And it sounds like you've gotten to a point where you can like appreciate the journey.
Yes. I appreciate the journey from all the good times to even the bad times. So the struggles.
Right. Yeah. So let's shift the focus a little bit, because you know, you talked about being an influence for people and having lots of people paying attention to your journey at this point in time. For somebody who's in the middle of their own hard season right now, and maybe it's weight loss, maybe it's they lost a parent or a brother, maybe it's something totally different. What advice do you have for somebody who's just in it right now?
It might be hard right now, and that's the key word, right now. But don't give up. Something good's going to come out of this. And with hardship comes good things. And it may be a long, long time when you see, you know, you get that. You maybe not know when exactly, or and you maybe want it now. I've been there where I'm like, God, like, why? Like, can you just give me a break? Like, bro, like, let's have a heart to heart. What are you, man? Like, it's going to happen. Keep your head up. Keep moving forward. It's tough. I'm sorry. Whatever you're going through, we understand. And just fighting, because there's no, if you give up, then you maybe never reach that good thing that's going to happen to you.
Mm. Yeah. I love just the honest, like, God, what's up, man? Like, where are we at? Are we going to have some results from this? Like, I think of the story of Job in the Bible. Dude, you know, literally lost everything. Like, talk about having a hard season. And he's like, most of the book is just him going, God, like, I wish I wasn't even born. And what I love about it is the honesty. Like, I think a lot of times we feel like we have to respect God, which we should. But like at the same time, he's not afraid of our honest questions. Right. And like, that's really good therapy for our souls, you know, like just give it to him. He can handle it. And I'm sure that, you know, he'll answer it in the right timing. Like when you've had those seasons and you've been like, God, what's up? Like, do you feel like he answers you?
Not at that time, but later down the road, like, yeah. Because so there was a moment in my life last year that I kind of broke down, and I was like, I'm just going to give up. I'm done. And this is before like I took off, right? You know, I came inside, laid down, and woke up, and there was definitely a different attitude towards, you know, with me, but just something popped in my head is like, not yet, not yet. And so I was like, all right, I'll keep trying. Like, you know, I'm just like, whatever, you know, like, let's just keep going. Like, you know, my attitude at that time. But there was something in the back of my head was just don't quit. Not yet. If I would have just gave up 2 months down the road, I probably wouldn't have been in the direction that I'm going towards now.
Yeah.
So it happened on my birthday. That was kind of like in a depressed state. My birthday is September 25th. When I posted that video, that was like November, I want to say 19th, 16th, somewhere around there. Yeah. So something, you know, the next day was just like, just don't quit. Don't do it. And so I think that was, you know, the Lord upstairs just telling me like, hey, something's coming.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I've shared this before with a couple people, but one of the stories, it's an encouragement to me because I feel like, man, what's my purpose sometimes? You know, I want to like have a good why. I want to be on this mission. I want to like have everything making sense and being like almost a flow state of life, you know? And I read, you know, stories in the Bible of these people that do amazing things. Moses being one of them, right? He like literally changed the course of a nation's history. But for 40 years, he was a shepherd in the middle of nowhere. And it's like, how many times do you think that he came from the Pharaoh's palace to this like really lowly position? How many times do you think he was like, what am I doing with my life? You know, for 40 years. And then it just took that one moment for it to change completely. And you just have to be available, right? Or and like asking the hard questions. So I love, you know, hearing you say that. And like, it, you know, it's for you, thankfully, it wasn't 40 years. It was like 2 months. It's like God knows what he's doing. And his timing is usually pretty good. And I loved your advice. I think it's so good to hear from people like not yet, you know, like just one more step, right? Like one more step. It will end. Like it will end.
I always, you know, these things kind of happen. I always think back to, I don't know if you've ever seen the picture of like, it's a little cartoon picture, right? And there's a guy that's digging. There's two guys digging, right? This guy just starting to dig and this guy that has been digging. And the guy that has been digging is walking away. Literally had like one or two more hits and there's like gold, diamond or whatever, right? Now this other guy is like, you know, halfway there and, you know, this guy's walking away. And if he would have just not quit, he would have had, you know, he would have found that the
right.
gold.
Right. Like that.
And yeah. So I always think about that as like there's after hard, difficult times, something good's going to happen. Everybody has their hills and everybody has their valleys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. No, it's good. I think I hadn't seen that cartoon before, but it's a cool illustration, right? Like, don't quit, you know? So for you right now, I like to end the conversations on this question because, and you even alluded to this earlier, like you tell yourself there's going to be more hard seasons. Like I'm going to have another hard situation or a life moment and you kind of prep yourself for it. But like, is there a hard thing that you're in the middle of right now?
I would say right now is dealing with work life, definitely transitioning into like full-time influencer. Like that's my goal, is to go like go full-time into like social media base and just giving me more time to follow my dreams, which I'm following my dreams right now, my goals. But with work, working anywhere from 40 to sometimes even 75 hours a week. Time's limited, but we're getting there. And I know that it'll happen little by little. We're inching that line closer and closer. Like, here's my 2 weeks.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you're
you.
So close. So for people that maybe this is their first introduction to you, or they know you, but they, you know, said something really impactful for them, like, how can people follow your story towards, you know, your first professional fight, or just be encouraged by you? Where are you at, and how can people engage with you?
Yeah, most definitely. So if you want to engage with me, most of my content's on Instagram. I am also on TikTok. Both those handles are the same. So it's the letter J, and then dot hub. So the J hub, the dots are the space. I have a Twitter. It's the J hub 2. That's all together. Yeah, that's how you can kind of get in contact with me. Follow what's going on. Instagram's the best place to do that. We're going to YouTube a little bit more now. We're starting a 90-day challenge and another one, getting some more results and encouraging more people to live a healthier and happier life.
That's awesome, man. And we at this company and I pay attention to what you're doing, and definitely rooting for you here for this your first fight, man. I can't wait for the fruition of that, but it's fun just to watch your journey. Like you said, it's motivational, and you do a great job with it. So I'm sure that's true for a lot of other people, as you've mentioned. Well, hey, dude, I've had fun. I have like 1,000 follow-up questions that I could ask you, but we'll have to take them off air for the sake of everybody's time. But J-Hub, Jonathan, thanks for hopping on and sharing some of your story.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. We hope you are encouraged today and have a newfound hope to persevere. Be sure to subscribe for more great episodes and conversations. And if you ever want to watch an episode, check out our YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/elitesrs. Have a blessed day.